Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Wednesday. This is Seattle Now. There are 84,000 electric vehicles on the road in Washington today. By the end of this decade, the plan is to get to 1 million. And there's a pile of federal money on its way to get you behind the wheel. In a minute, we'll hear from Seattle Times reporter Hal Burnton about how his recent test drive went and get some info from WashDOT about the plans in the works here for more EVs. But first, let's get you caught up. Starting today, Americans can start ordering those free COVID tests through the U.S. Postal Service, 4 per household at covidtests.gov. But if you're buying them in stores, take care. Don't get ripped off. State AG Bob Ferguson sent a consumer alert yesterday warning that tests are being sold on Facebook for up to $70 a piece. He's asking anyone who suspects price gouging to file a report with his office. Meanwhile, we're getting the first look at student testing scores since the pandemic started, and you can guess where this is headed. They went down across the board. Seattle Times reports that the percentage of students who met the state's math standards fell 20% between 2019 and 2021. English was down 9%. State education officials say they weren't too concerned by the numbers because fewer students were tested during the pandemic. And just about halfway through the season, the Kraken are in last place in their division. Their star forward is out for the year, and they're contending for the fewest wins of any team in the league. Looks like these guys could use a puppy. Kraken fans met Davy Jones this week. The 4-month-old husky was adopted from a nonprofit that saves homeless dogs from kill shelters and is training to be a therapy dog. Stay tuned to see if all that cuteness helps improve things on the ice. Okay, if you're rolling, Hal, tell us where you are. Where are you, Hal?
This is my car in my garage, and we're able to charge it in about, seems like 5 hours or so. Here, let me turn the light on.
That's Seattle Times reporter Hal Burnton giving us a Zoom tour of his garage and home charging station.
Want to charge it, of course, you open this port. It's in the same place in this car as a fuel tank. And then what you do is you grab the charger here. Then you got to line up the little toggles. Okay, I'm going into the car. First of all, see the green lights there?
Mm-hmm.
That means that it's charging and it's happy.
People love their cars. Cruising and road tripping is just part of American culture. But now the auto industry is making a shift. The plan is to have more than 1 million EVs on the roads here in the next 10 years. That's just here in Washington. And there's money, too. $71 million to encourage drivers to trade in their gas vehicles for electric. That's coming from the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act that President Biden signed into law in November, with billions being poured into clean energy initiatives. But how far do EVs still have to go for more drivers to make the switch? Seattle Times reporter Hal Burnton recently took a road trip from Portland to Nevada in his new electric Volkswagen ID4 to check out the charging network. Hey, Hal, really appreciate you being here, and we're so excited to talk about your trip in an EV now that there's a push to get more drivers to go electric. So tell me, who went on this trip?
Well, my wife, and then one of the big requisites for an electric car was a vehicle big enough to carry our two Bassets, Maverick, who is 13 years old and somewhat of a geriatric, so he needs some comfort, and Blake, who's 3 and is just an excellent traveler.
Okay, you had just gotten your first electric vehicle, so I'm curious about the planning you had to do. Tell me about your pre-planning.
Well, they sort of call that range anxiety, but it really faded rather quickly because there are all these different apps that allow you to figure out just where the next charging station is, fast charging station, if there are cars that are already there taking these charge spots or whether they're empty, and how many miles you have in your car left in your battery versus where they are. And as long as you kind of follow what the apps are saying and act somewhat conservatively, really there's no problem with the charging network that exists now in terms of finding open spaces and finding them in reasonable distances on the main highways. Because remember, we traveled Interstate 5 rather than going sort of cross country on smaller roads because we didn't want to stray too far from the main network. But even on this really busy travel period right before Thanksgiving, I was surprised, frankly, that often there was maybe one or two cars, maybe we were the only car at a charging station that might have 4 to 8 slots or so.
I love the term range anxiety, Hal. Is that your term or is that something that people actually talk about?
No, I would never take credit. That's something that everybody sort of talks about. And maybe you start to feel as you go up a mountain pass, like, you know, once you get out of Oregon and you're climbing up through Northern California passes, suddenly you see that what your car was predicting your mileage would be is shrinking. So you might wonder, well, am I really going to get to the next place? But of course, if you're going up to the top of a pass, at some point you got to go down. And when you go down, the range forecaster in your car goes the other way, suddenly saying, oh, no, you don't have just like 100 miles left in your charge. You could go 110. And then it says you coast down a little more and it says, oh, no, 120 or 130.
What do you average in terms of what you're paying every time you need to charge up your car?
Some car companies, including Volkswagen, they offer a promotion where they basically say for 3 years, you get free charges on the Electrify America charging network. So I actually won't be paying for that for another 3 years. But it shows you how much it would charge you to go from 23% to 80% in one of my stops, which would get me my 200-mile range, would have cost $18.92 if I had been paying versus having my comp account.
Hal, thanks for telling us about your trip.
Okay, well, thank you, and take care.
Hal's comp account comes from the Electrify America charging network that was established by Volkswagen. Remember a few years back when the car company created software that could cheat on emissions tests? Well, now they're paying for it. Over a 10-year period, Volkswagen is investing $2 billion in charging infrastructure. Other car companies and some utilities are pitching in, too. Washington is going to get $71 million over the next 5 years to install more fast charging stations. To get a better idea of what's happening here in Washington to make the shift to electric happen, we talked to Tonya Buell, Project Development Manager for WashDOT's Innovative Partnerships Programs.
We are working to get charging along all throughout the nation on all of the major interstates and major highways. And so that way someone could drive from Seattle all the way down to Baja, California.
You mentioned that we're trying to build the network in Washington to accommodate the number of electric vehicles you anticipate will be on the roads at some point. Where are we now and where do you hope to be?
So we're expecting millions. So right now we're over the last 10 years, we've gone from zero to nearly 85,000, and we're anticipating that's going to grow 10 times. So we'll have more than 1 million vehicles coming in the next 10 years.
One of the things that may be preventing drivers from getting an electric vehicle is that electric charging network right now. The other is that electric vehicles are still more expensive than gas vehicles. I wonder what you see as other hurdles to achieving 1 million electric vehicles on the road.
Well, definitely the cost of electric vehicles, the upfront cost, and that's why the state offers the sales tax exemption to kind of cut down on that. But if you look at the cost of the car over the lifetime of the vehicle, the maintenance costs are minuscule and electricity is a lot cheaper than gasoline. So you can save on fuel costs and maintenance costs. And so if you think about it over time, it could actually be less expensive than driving a gas car.
Let's talk a little bit more about charging, because an electric car seems like a great idea if you have a garage, but in Seattle, where we have tons of apartment buildings and condos with not adequate parking and challenging garage space, I'm curious how those vehicles and those people might be accommodated in the future.
Yes, that is definitely a barrier for EV adoption for people who don't have a home with a garage. But there are ways to help advance that. I know there's some proposed legislation right now that would support condo owners for installing electric vehicle charging. It would take away some of the potential of homeowners associations denying that. As far as all the people that are living in multifamily housing that want to drive electric, it's a little tough because most charging happens at home. About 80 to 90% of charging is done at home, and then quite a bit at workplaces as well. So that's why we really need to have more public charging, not just along our highways, but in our communities, at our state parks, at our shopping malls, places where people go and spend time.
Every time I see an electric vehicle, I know the person inside that car feels good about what they're doing, right? They didn't buy it with the intention of harming the earth. But zero emissions vehicles still need power, and not all of that power is clean. There's been recent reporting on mining of minerals for the EV batteries and its effect on the environment, and the power for the charging stations is coming from the grid. That means it's coming from some renewable resources, but also coal and natural gas here in Washington. Do you see changes in the future, or is this just let's not let the perfect be the enemy of the good at this point?
Well, electric vehicles are always cleaner than gasoline cars, regardless of what state you live in. In Washington, where we have renewable power, it's a lot cleaner. But even in Kentucky, where the power all comes from coal, it's still much cleaner than gas cars. And there's actually a U.S. Department of Energy website where you can go and look at the average emissions per type of vehicle and the source of electricity by state. And so you can see what pollution you're putting in the air. And the average electric vehicle in Washington generates 990 pounds of carbon per year, whereas the average gasoline vehicle generates 11,435 pounds of carbon.
Wow. Okay. There's a lot of research to do as drivers navigate this shift to electric, and it's going to be interesting to watch this transition happen in our state. Tonya Buell from the Washington State Department of Transportation, really appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you, Patricia. So glad to talk with you today.
Thanks for listening to Seattle Now. Just check the show notes to find the Department of Energy website that Tonya mentioned, along with some other resources to learn more about driving electric. Jenny Cecil Moore produced today's show. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. I'm Patricia Murphy.